This is the Franklin Matters radio show, number 205 in the series with Steve Sherlock. We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio, WFPR-FM. With my mobile recording equipment, I went to the Senior Center to sit with Patricia, or Trish, Collados. We talk about how she got into this role and what she does. As you'll hear, there is a whole lot going on. From the beginning, when she started with blood pressure and blood sugar testing, she expanded the services offered. There is a balance and strength class run for 5 weeks at a time. What is covered is primarily prevention and avoiding the fear of falling. Trish's overall goal is to keep the seniors healthy. A friendly reminder that the Senior Center is open to those 50 and older. And while most services are geared to the senior population, many services are indeed provided to all of Franklin. Trish is at the Senior Center on Wednesdays and Thursdays. If you need to talk with her, she does have an open door policy. I recommend you check out the Senior Center newsletter for the activities available Monday through Friday. Links to subscribe to the newsletter and to the current newsletter, including the prior month archives, are included in the show notes. The conversation with Trish was lively and the time just runs along. So without further ado, here's the recording, approximately 17 minutes.
Steve Sherlock here today at the Franklin Senior Center with Patricia Collados. Did I pronounce that right?
Yes, you did.
Although you do go by Trish?
Yes, I do.
So you're here as a nurse for Senior Center?
Yes.
And you've got a lot going on. So as this is kind of the intro of or a continuation of our Senior Center series, mm-hmm. tell me, how did you get here doing this?
Well, it was, I guess, faith. You know, you can put it that way. I've worked in numerous hospitals in the Worcester area, Milford Hospital, Norwood Hospital, Southwood, for years. And I kind of, about 2 years ago, just needed a break from acute care.
Mm-hmm.
I also worked at UMass in the trauma center, screening patients to go to the next level of care after receiving their acute care. And that was actually very interesting. But I had a tragedy in my life that led me to needing to leave the trauma unit. So I
you
took a break.
Too much trauma.
Too much trauma, and then a personal trauma. So therefore, I said to myself, I need to heal, and the only way I'm going to heal is if I leave this trauma center.
Sure.
So I took some time off, and I was down here dropping some stuff off to our beautiful place that we have, our gift shop, which is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw Karen. I said, hey, if you ever need a volunteer to do any, you know, point of care testing, blood pressures, blood sugars, let me know. 2 weeks later, Karen called me. She goes, would you come in for an interview? And I'm like, oh,
2 weeks.
Okay. All right. Unfortunately, the nurse that was here had to leave for her own personal reasons. And it just was meant to be. So the role at that particular time, it's been 2 years that I'm here now, was basically running a blood pressure, blood sugar clinic. I felt that there was a need for further testing, and mm-hmm. I also thought there was a need for further education.
Sure.
So we kind of developed a plan of what's called point of care testing, which is a blood sugar and a blood pressure. It's also measuring people's oxygen levels, review their medications. If they're having trouble with their medications or not feeling right, we'll coordinate with their physician, and we keep a log of what their blood pressures and blood sugars are. So when they go to a physician, they have a running all the numbers, so
Excellent.
They can bring that to their physician.
Good.
So it really prevents people from having blood sugar issues. Blood pressure mm-hmm. management is much better.
Right.
And we also went with the next step of basically educating people on the things that are current. Falls. Our number one thing is preventing falls. We want everyone to be safe. We want them to be safe in their homes, mm-hmm. safe in their yards,
sure.
and keep themselves safe so they can be part of the community. So we do a balance and strength class. We run a program it runs for 5 weeks, and we run that pretty much consecutively all through the year.
Okay.
We also do...
All through the year, but like 5 weeks at a time?
Yep, five weeks at a time, because we really have to know your audience, like where is their balance, what's making them have poor balance,
mm-hmm.
and we work with those individuals.
So to that extent, in my mind, I'm thinking similar to a class, and you're mm-hmm. doing the personalization for that group
yes.
in that session
yes.
to know where they are and then where you want to take them.
That's correct. So I learn from my audience what their needs are,
sure.
and I adjust our program for those 5 weeks to what the needs are of those particular people in mm-hmm. the class.
Right.
A lot of it's prevention,
sure.
it's knowledgement, it's getting people past the fear of falling, because that is a problem.
Yes.
If you have the fear of falling, you're going to fall.
Yeah.
You know, so it creates a lot of better new habits and just common sense things that we forget over time.
Common sense so. Seems to have been disappearing rather. It's
yeah.
not as common as it
yeah.
should be.
I do send them the first day that we have a class, I send them home with a home assessment.
Okay.
And for them to go through each room of their house just to see if there's any potential hazards for them. And it's amazing how many people say, oh, I didn't realize that was a safety hazard. So it's really a self-examination on their home as well as themselves.
Sounds like that might be something we would tease up for more in-depth in a
yeah,
future session.
Absolutely. And that goes along with our grab bar grant that we have.
Yes.
I do home assessments. If someone needs a grab bar, I go to their home. We do a quick little interview. I assess each room of their home. And then we have a gentleman who comes to the home and puts in their grab bars for them.
Right.
And it's free of charge for anybody. It's a grant that we have that we've mm-hmm. been very successful with. And we probably, I think last 2019, I think we put in close to 24 bars, which tells us that people are more aware of it,
yes.
and we're creating safer environments for
absolutely.
Them to be at
yeah.
home and stay at home, and it prevents EMS calls.
Correct.
And that's part of our goal, too, is have people healthier, stronger,
mm-hmm.
and have better balance so they can be at home.
So I would think that most of the bars are probably placed, like, in the bathrooms,
mm-hmm.
in the showers,
yep.
bathtubs,
that's
et cetera,
correct.
But I'm sure there's other good places
yep.
for those as well.
Yeah, sometimes when people have a garage and they have a big step into their home, we'll put it on the outside of
okay.
the door for them to get into their house.
Sure.
Yeah, so it's all it depends upon the needs of the patient.
Sure.
Person, excuse me.
Yeah.
What they need, and we just work with them. And we have a gentleman who's wonderful. He's an EMT, he's a firefighter in Franklin, and he puts the bars in for us on his own.
Mm-hmm.
On his own. So
excellent.
It's really
yeah,
good.
It's,
we're very fortunate to have this.
Yes.
Very fortunate.
Yeah, it takes a village, to use another term.
Yeah. Yep. It only takes about 45 minutes to an hour for me to come in and do a home assessment.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we've never actually never told anybody they couldn't get a bar.
Right.
You know,
right.
so. And
sure
we try to make it as nice as it can be to match the decor, too.
Correct.
An important factor.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, and I think, to your point, it may have been a slip, but the patient versus the person, clearly by doing this proactive
yes.
piece, you avoid that person becoming a patient.
That's correct. That's correct. Our goal here at the senior center is prevention and keeping people safe and healthy.
Mm-hmm.
That's our goal here,
yeah.
you know, and fulfilled, and make sure they have activities, and make sure
right.
they're, we move with the times.
Sure.
When there is a topic that's important, we're going to talk about it. We're going to
yeah.
educate ourselves, and we're going to pass that information on to the participants that come here.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone here is in great mental health. They're wonderful people, and they want to learn.
Yeah.
And that's what we're here for, is to teach them.
Excellent.
You know, we do, once a month, I do a little talk about whether last month I did on sleep, how sleep is so important. And
sleep important?
Yeah. And how
it's also been a topic in the schools.
This is true. That's very, very true. But,
yeah.
you know, that's the whole thing where the elderly population sleeps a lot, or they need more sleep. And we're trying to get rid of all those myths. And what can we do to
mm-hmm.
make people have a better night's sleep?
Yeah, there's no single answer. It depends
no.
upon the individual.
Individual.
What,
it could
yeah.
be medication related. It could be stress related. There's all different things. So that was one that we did last month. And
mm-hmm.
that's always a really, really good one.
Right.
So every month we try to take a different topic and exploit on it. CBD oil. Last year, it was a big, big topic here. We did 3 classes on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very successful. And people are educated on it now. They
good.
Can make a good conscious decision along with their physician
right.
to what they want to do.
Right.
You know, so we move with the times.
Yeah.
We move with the times.
Oil for other treatments and hopefully not for vaping.
Yeah, well, yeah, we talked about that too. Keep away from that, but the clientele here, it's not a problem.
It's not a problem.
It's not a problem at all.
But to your point too, I think the awareness to make sure so that they're now in a mm-hmm. position to say, no, don't do that. Don't
right, because they have grandchildren.
Yes.
You know, and they may be the ones that prevent their grandchild from vaping. So it's good to be educated in all aspects.
Sure.
You know, all aspects. We talk about stroke prevention. What are the signs and symptoms? What is it that you want to do as soon as you think you're having a stroke is get to an emergency room so you can have the correct treatment, the right treatment, because you'll have a better outcome if you can get there quicker. So we do a lot of education, which was wonderful. We have what's called Ages and Pages here, which is brochures on every topic available. And we actually was able to get that through the National Institute of Health. And they're great little brochures. You come in, they're free. And that's on every subject you can possibly think of here. And I have them.
Ages and Pages.
Ages and Pages. Yeah, it's really a very, very good way of educating without having to ask questions.
Right.
Yeah, so that's available here all the time. They're in the library, they're on the front desk. And I have tons of them in my office also.
Sure.
So it's good. Yeah.
So I'm sure somebody could come up and say topic A, topic B.
Another thing that we do too is I open up to the participants here. What do you want to know? What do you want to learn? Tell me what's the subject you're interested in. You know, and that's how we build on it.
Absolutely.
You know, because I know we're going to be talking about the coronavirus. And I'm already two steps ahead of them, and I've already started my research. And
Indeed. And
my research is, you know, three sources. You know, and make sure the information that I'm providing to the public is good and is accurate.
Yeah, another important factor. That might be something kind of doing a segue, but I've got a series as well with Kathleen Liberty, our health director for the town. That's one of our future topics that's coming. So that might be a collaboration you know, do it together.
That's true. And my thing I know here too is they don't want to wait a month. They want the information now.
Correct.
So knowing that, I did research on my own. So if someone has a question, I can help them. If not, I can gear them to the right place to get the information. Because I knew it. I said, okay, I know that's going to get a lot of questions. So let's just educate ourselves and be proactive on it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's a common theme so far. I'm detecting proactive.
I have to be proactive. We gotta get it before it gets too bad, and that's where we're at with that. But we have a lot of activities here. We're very fortunate. You only have to be 50 years old to come to the senior center.
Right.
We have a gym that I'm in charge of, and we have two treadmills. We have three exercise bikes, and we also have a sit-down elliptical. And it is so great that we have this. It's free. Mm-hmm. You just have to get a doctor's note, and you just have to go through a little bit of a training with me that I can sign you off that you know how to use the equipment.
Right, kind of the orientation. Evaluation, make sure.
Yep, you know, use the equipment safely and things of that nature. So that is a gift, and people use that gym here, and it's really, really, it gets them conditioned better.
Sure.
It keeps them exercising for their heart, their lungs, and everything. It's keep them active.
Yes.
You know, so that's one of many things that we do here.
Indeed.
One of many things.
Good. Yeah. Good. So it sounds like you've got a list of topics that we'll be able to keep this series going for a while.
Yeah, because I'm always looking for something a little different and something that's going to pique people's interest. We're going to be doing a blood drive in the spring. In November, we had the Donate Life people here for organ donation clarify the myths that, oh my God, I'm over 50, my organs are no good, I can't give, which is a farce. So it's an educational process.
Okay.
And at that particular time, we were able to sign people up to be a donor.
Good.
So something I'm very passionate about, again, you know, I've seen it from a nurse's perspective and as a member of a family that had to make that decision for a loved one. So it's something that runs true to my heart.
Near and dear.
True to my heart, very much so. And where the safety and balance comes into. Yeah.
And again, preparation, prevention, being prepared for an eventual time when, you know, we're all going to come to that point, hopefully.
Yeah.
Later, not sooner.
Yes, this is true, but we all know that, you know, age doesn't matter what age you are. Sometimes things just happen, unfortunately.
Correct.
So, but this is a very, very wonderful building that we have here. We have great staff. The participants that come here are active and smart and just live life to the fullest, and they're, you can learn from them. Mm-hmm. You know, it's amazing.
It is.
You know,
it is.
This is not what people think it is, you know.
Yeah.
Come in, take a tour, come in and just walk into the front foyer and you'll be like, oh my God, oh, this is just
it's
beautiful.
It's almost a three-ring circus going on.
Yeah, and we're very busy. We do, like I said, it's not just, you know, we do the health, maintenance, and things of that nature, but we also, you know, we have a really good vision department and a hearing department, and we have social workers and we have mental health counselor. Mm-hmm. I mean, we do a lot of services here. And like I said, it's people who are 50 years old and above, and
right.
we're fortunate
right.
to have that. Very, yes. very fortunate.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but we also do a lot of fun things.
Well, we
do a lot of fun
There's
things.
There's nothing wrong with fun.
No. Hey, when I'm retired, that's all I want to do is have fun, you know. And working here is fun. I enjoy this. This
sure.
is something that I never thought of as being a nurse, that, you know, and it was an opportunity, and I said, okay, let's take it a step further. Let's see what else we can do.
Mm-hmm.
What else do people need and want?
Absolutely.
You know, and it's a friendly place. It's really, really good.
Yep.
You know, but like I said, I'm always looking for something a little bit different to do here for the public as much as for the participants that come.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm working on some really cool things. I can't mention this one, but I think it's going to work out really, really well. Karen and I have to do this big application for it, but I think it will be a success,
mm-hmm.
and I'm really happy
so
about it.
We'll tee that up for a future session.
Yeah, exactly. I'm very excited about it. I think it's something the whole town is going to love,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that's very exciting.
Yeah, so let's kind of close on this one specifically. So you're here. They can reach you here. But you're also part-time here, so you're not.
Yes, I'm here Wednesdays and Thursdays from 8:30 to 2:30.
Mm-hmm.
I do my home evals between 1:30 and 2:30. If that doesn't work out for the person, I will adjust. You know, I'll come at 7 o'clock at night. It doesn't matter. But, yeah, so within the 12 hours that I'm here, we do a lot of work. We do a lot of research. We do a lot of work. We serve the community well. Our biggest thing is making less EMS calls so people can be home and
mm-hmm.
be safe. We do pick up and recognize when someone's not quite themselves, because we've formed these relationships with people. We can
yes.
tell when someone's not quite themselves, whether it's their gait that's not right or their speech that's not right. And we really work with them and the local physicians to see what we can do to help
mm-hmm.
them out.
That's good. That's good. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing more about it, and the few times that I've been in here now that I'm retired,
mm-hmm.
I'm enjoying this part of it, meeting with you and Karen and
yeah.
others in the town to share the stories of what's truly going on, because
yeah.
Franklin is a good place. So
it is. And one last thing, we're also going to be running in the spring, hands-only CPR through the American Heart Association.
Oh, good.
So that is something I think that's really important. It's a whole new program American Heart Association has out, and it's National Heart Month. Too.
Coincidentally.
So the hands-only CPR is something that we've been teaching in Worcester to high school students and actually to middle school students, and has been a very good success, along with going to senior centers within Worcester and actually out here too. So
good.
That's going to be coming up. We've got some good programs coming up.
So you heard that. Put your ears and radar together to watch for hands-only CPR.
Yeah, and if you don't get the newsletter, go online.
Yeah.
It's on there too.
Good. And we'll include some links in the show notes as we produce this. So if there's links available, certainly we'll put the link to the senior center in. So we'll be able to include that as well.
Yes.
Well, Trish, this time has just kind of like zipped right by. You're full of info and full of life, which is
yeah.
good.
Yes, thank God.
So thank you for your time. And
you're welcome.
We'll be back to talk more about what you're doing here.
All right. Sounds good.
Excellent.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but I can't do it alone. I can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like this, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements, and I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is entitled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tintype Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy.